Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Just imagine for a moment what it would be like in your life to be without anxiety about imperfection. Not to be numb or uncaring, just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are. Body, with this appearance, these behaviors, these life circumstances. One of the most reassuring lines from the Zen tradition was written by Zen Master Dogen. And it goes like this: to be in harmony with the oneness of things is to be without anxiety about imperfection. Now, I love this teaching because it assumes imperfection. It assumes that these bodies and minds will be reactive, that will grasp and get attached, and that will be angry at times and fearful, and that will even hurt the beings that we love the most out of our fear and our confusion. It assumes imperfection and says what matters is how do we relate to that. But when we feel deficient, and when we're aware of that deficiency, there's a real sense of shame, and that shame ties us up in knots. And it gives rise to the most profound sense of self-aversion. And what this means is that for awakening beings of our time, people on the spiritual path, that paying attention to shame, paying attention to self-aversion, is a necessary gateway for awakening. It's not something to get rid of. Rather, the way we pay attention to self-aversion is actually the ground of the path. Just imagine for a moment what it would be like in your life to be without anxiety about imperfection. just simply without anxiety, accepting yourself just as you are.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and that was Tara Brock on Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat. Imagine, what would it really be like if we all just accepted ourselves and always left a little room for growth? Always would leave room that there's growth. And because we're souls, it will consistently aim towards growth or towards more. Energy can never say it's enough. It might be enough of issues and stuff, but we can never say it's enough good. Good is like an energy that keeps flowing. And that which doesn't feel healthy or serves the spirit to keep offering us creative energy, vision, foresight, then of course that's got to come to a close. But there's something about goodness. There's something about purity. There's something about peace. Something about power. But there's something about accepting yourself and believing in yourself. Today we're proud to welcome our special guest, Tammy Simon. Tammy Simon founded Sounds True at the age of 22. It was a mission of disseminating spiritual wisdom. And as a pioneer in the conscious business movement, Tammy focuses on bringing authenticity and heart into the workplace while still honoring multiple bottom lines. Tammy hosts a popular weekly podcast called Insights at the Edge, where she has interviewed many of today's leading teachers, delving deeply into their discoveries and personal experiences on their own journeys. With Sounds True, she has released the audio program Being True, What Matters Most in Work, Life, and Love, which you can visit at soundstrue.com. Today it's my honor to welcome Tammy Simon to America Meditating Radio. Welcome, Tammy.
Nice to be with you, Sister Jenna. Good morning.
Thank you. Congratulations on all the great work you're doing.
Tammy, it's so interesting because, you know, even when I was young in my 20s, I was owning my own two nightclubs in South Beach at the time and just shaking things up, you can only imagine. And it just, I remember what it was like to be 21, 22, 23, 24, and just feeling so driven. You know, you founded Sounds True with the mission of disseminating spiritual wisdom, and it is now one of the fastest growing privately held companies, disseminating spiritual knowledge. So how have you been able to stay true to its mission while the marketplace still remains highly competitive? And sometimes, you know, finances become an issue and they can derail our, I don't know, our spiritual purpose or our deepest foundation. Could you share that with us for a little while?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't say so much over-focusing on money per se, but perhaps over-focusing on the doing dimension of life and getting too involved with so much activity that there's been a sense, and it happens to me, to be honest with you, on a regular basis where I notice, oh, I'm starting to get stretched too thin. And in getting stretched too thin, really inspired by a sense of purpose and a sense of contribution and a dynamic flow of creativity in my life that I want to see actualized. But then I can notice that there's no gas in the tank, so to speak, to use that metaphor. And I've lost touch with a sense of the inherent richness of life. And that's a time for me to slow down, reconnect, and take some time really to focus on the being dimension and not the doing dimension. Mm. Now, I know you asked about money, and I think that I've always just seen money as a means to an end, not something to focus on in and of itself.
Thank you for that. Sounds True follows a guiding principle. You call it multiple bottom lines. I mean, what is that about? Is that where there are a lot of areas that you look at and you go, look, I'm not going to negotiate this whatsoever. No matter what you do, no matter what comes to us, we're not going to compromise what we believe is our core value. Could you share with our listeners, what are multiple bottom lines that Sounds True?
Sure. You know, that's an idea that's become common now in the whole world of conscious capitalism, but it actually occurred to me over 30 years ago when I was just getting started as a young person in my 20s, and I was trying to define both for myself and the people that I was working with, what are we doing here? What's our focus? What are we doing here? And it was clear that the most important and primary focus was our mission, what we were trying to communicate, the dissemination of spiritual wisdom and the teachings and tools that would actually have a real transformative impact in people's lives. So that was our first bottom line. Could we perform according to that mission and really deliver? Now, the second bottom line, and it became apparent to me very early, that this was equally as important to the creation of products and the impact those products would have, is the how. How are we doing this? And sometimes it sounds true, we call this our relationship bottom line. Are we fulfilling our mission in integrity? Are we creating a sense of love and reciprocity? Are we growing as individuals who are working together and confronting areas of less consciousness in our life? Are we actually confronting that material and doing the personal growth work? So we established our second bottom line as this relationship bottom line, our culture, and how we do what we do. And part of it was early on, I saw that a lot of people were communicating very inspiring spiritual teachings. But then as you got close to them or their organization, you found an incredible amount of dysfunction and even pain and violence that was being caused because they weren't bringing that consciousness into the how. And so from the very beginning, we've wanted to have this congruency between our products and our process. So those are the first two bottom lines. And in a certain sense, they're non-negotiable. That sounds true. Meaning we always want to be true to our mission and are committed to that. And there's never a reason not to be true to honest and heartful and decent relationships. And then the third bottom line, where we started our conversation, is there has to be a financial flow. The money has to be flowing, or we can't actually accomplish our first two bottom lines. We'll be handicapped and hindered in some way. And interestingly, that bottom line is the one that has the most flexibility in it. We're committed to being profitable and having positive cash flow, but it could be more or less in any given year, and we can make it work.
Beautiful, Tammy. Thank you. Have you noticed any changes over the years in terms of the overall interest in spiritually based materials such as music and books and courses?
But yes, I think one of the methods I've used in my life repeatedly is a prayer that's something like, "Oh universe, what do you want from me right now? How can I serve you? What's wanted? What do you want?" And for a period of time, what I received was, you know, you should really put this all down, what you keep talking about when you give keynotes and what you're talking about in various podcasts. You should put this all down and share it with other people. And at the time, I didn't feel the inspiration and motivation to sit down and write a book. And so I thought, okay, I'll make an audio program. We have a studio right here, It Sounds True, that we use all the time. Tammy, this isn't that hard. Just go sit downstairs and talk about what you really care the most about. And then what spilled out of me was these four sessions. The first one had to do with some of the history of Sounds True and what I called this being true process, which is not a particularly complex process of any kind. It's the notion that each one of us is unique. There's only one of us in this special moment in time, and that we can go into what I call the darkness or the unknown or a sense of boundless space and receive our operating instructions and then have the courage and the fortitude and the faith to not just listen to them, but go ahead and enact them in the world and then engage with the world in a dialogue where we're getting feedback, responding to that feedback, taking it in, and then acting again, and then repeating, you know, rinse, wash, repeat, whatever that, you know, do this again and again and again. And I talked about how that was really how I began the company in my early 20s. And then the program moves into some of the unique workplace policies and culture that we have at Sounds True, some of the most important lessons that I've learned after producing recordings with hundreds of leading spiritual teachers and hosting the podcast for the last 9 years. And then it ends with how do we actually bring this being true process into our relationships, such that our relationships are marked by a quality of deep meeting and respect and love, and the universe coming through our bonds with other people to be a dynamic force of creation.
Yeah, I get that. I'm also seeing that as well, that there's such a plethora of options that I think we have to kind of tune into which program or course that we really feel suits our needs. Tammy, just listening to you share your heart and your inspiration, I sense you're just quite clear, you're quite focused on what needs to be done, and you're very genuine. That I can sense for sure. What matters most to Tammy Simon in work, in life, in love, like, what really moves you?
Well, in the work space, Sounds True is in the process of just beginning to put all the pieces together to launch an online event series in the fall of this year, which will be called Waking Up in the World. And the motivation behind it is that more and more people are being introduced to mindfulness and meditation through programs like yours and through many, many programs that are available now. And there's a sense of people waking up. What does that mean? There's a sense of people recognizing our deep interdependence and our tremendous open-heartedness. And I think in that open-heartedness, there's also the discovery of a broken-heartedness, as many of us encounter the state of our country and world and feel outrage, despair, for some people, a sense of helplessness. And what we want to do in this online event series is help people come to a place of empowerment and a place of being on purpose in their lives, where they feel that their spiritual opening process is actually having an impact and an outflow into the world in an empowered way. And there isn't a division between our inner spiritual life and our outer life of contribution. So we're inviting a beautiful series of guests for this series, Waking Up in the World, and it will also be the launch of the new Sounds True Foundation. And this is something that's been in the works for a couple of years, and we're just going public with it now. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And,
that's fantastic.
And the motivation behind it is to make sure that there's no financial barrier to any of the programs that we create at Sounds True, and also to come up with more creative ways to have an impact globally where money isn't the primary constraint in our efforts. So that's, I think, the big thing that's happening in my work life. Now, if we go on just to what's happening in my life, my being as a person, I would say that I've been noticing, and you know, I feel comfortable talking with you about it because I know and can hear in your voice the depth of your own practice and experience. But what I'm noticing is this increased sense of blissful flow, if you will, in my own restful experience, and how tuning into that and almost, you could say, riding the waves of that, being in its oceanic presence, has become intensely meaningful for me. And that I know the more and more I return to that, and it has a different quality now than it's ever had, so I guess that's what being true now means to me. It has this different, very alive and, as I said, blissful quality. And I know the more time I spend attuning to that, the more inspired my life will be, but also the more I'll have a sense of immediate meaning, not in anything that's accomplished externally, but in just the sense of the sufficiency of space itself, the sufficiency of being itself. And then what's going on? What does being true in my love life mean? Yeah, well, that's interesting. You know, my partner and I, we have two dogs, and one's 2 years old and one's 8 months. And it's a real family full-on situation. And it requires a lot of scheduling, and are you taking them out, and what, da-da-la. And, you know, I don't really like all that scheduling stuff and all of the kind of small little, like, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, blah, blah. So that's requiring a tremendous open generosity and slowing down on my part in the name of love, and it's good work for me to be doing.
Tammy, you talked about work, life, and love. It's a big conversation. It's something that we all have to face and deal with at some point or the other. And I want to talk to you about something personal because the last year and a half, despite all the wisdom, knowledge, love, appreciation, and respect that I do carry for every walking human being on the planet, it's been a unique time where something inside of the soul is really being stirred up and the emotions have emerged at a level that I'm not accustomed to having them emerge. And many, you know, many people say, to some extent, emotions are good for you, and some say emotions are not so good for you. I tend to feel for myself that if I'm in an emotional state where there isn't really joy or clarity, I feel there's a depletion and there's something not going right. Could you speak to me about emotions? Would you say emotions are healthy, or would you say they're really not?
I don't see it that way. I do think that they're tremendous gateways, and that we can't go around them or avoid them. And if we do, we're missing out on the incredible energy and fuel that lives within them, and that actually the emotions, as messy as they are, I think you talked about the garbage can, and it can feel that way. They can feel so just difficult, and emotions like outrage and emotions like heartbreak. These are dense, difficult energies. But in my own experience, what I've found is that if I can actually go right into them, and first of all, tell the truth that that's what I'm feeling, and then actually go into their energetic quality. So take something that I think all of us can connect to easily, something like outrage at some type of injustice. And in that outrage, if we actually sit with it, we don't act out in any kind of way and spill it out in our relationships or at work. But if we just sit with it as an energetic force, we can feel underneath it a tremendous power and strength and sense of sort of fuel, if you will, to make a fist and put our fist up in the air and stand for something, and then open in that as well. So open the fingers and open wide to the heavens. And it's actually a process that we can go in and through. So that's more the way that I see it. What I found in my life is anytime I try to skirt around an emotion, it just sort of sits there. And other people can feel it also. And even if I try to like transcend it and go beyond it, it hasn't actually metabolized through my whole being.
Right.
So I'm a going through person.
You're going through it, not a running around it or a suppressing
yes.
it. Got it.
I have not
Got
found that either of those two other approaches work as much as I've tried them and wanted them to work.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you. You know, in the opening of the show, we play Tara Brach, and Tara Brach recently joined us on air and told us about the 2-year mindfulness meditation certification program, which she and Jack Kornfield are leading. I understand that the first program you offered actually sold out in only 3 weeks. I want to know more about the program and why is there a need for mindfulness meditation, especially for it to become a certification program at this time?
Well, the Mindfulness Meditation Certification Training Program is a 2-year teacher training program that Sounds True developed in partnership with Tara Brach and Jack Kornfield. And if you're familiar, your listeners are familiar with Tara Brach and Jack Kornfield, they're two of the leading mindfulness meditation teachers in the West. And they came to Sounds True wanting to develop a full training program that would certify teachers online. And the goal is that if we can get more and more people becoming certified mindfulness teachers, they can then go back into their respective communities, whatever part of the world they live in, or whatever workplace they're in, or whatever community they live in. And once they've become certified as a teacher, and this is 100 hours of video teaching that we've captured with Jack and Tara, and the program also includes 2 optional in-person retreats. You can either come to the retreats or they're streamed live. And then there's monthly work in a small group with a trained meditation mentor, along with individual work with that mentor, and a practicum where you come forward as a teacher, you do some teaching in your community, you record that, it gets reviewed by your meditation mentor, all of which leads to certification. And the goal here is to bring mindfulness meditation all over the world with these certified teachers. So the program launches in January, and we're currently receiving hundreds and hundreds of applications, and it's a very exciting coming to fruition of something that's been in the works for several years now.
Congratulations on that. I actually did have a conversation with Tara this week, and she was on air, and I was so surprised at the incredible amount of positive movement on this certification program. So I'd highly recommend everyone to get involved. And the fact that it's now reached the hill, everyone, there is hope in the United States of America. Tammy Simon, leave us with one inspiring quote of the day and lots of blessings and love. And we also honor you for Women's History Month. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever that might be, that is the divine essence of life. That is goodness, whatever it is, under its covering, its shimmering with the life force. And so go right into it, whatever it is, and go as deeply as you can, under, into whatever your current experience is. That's my inspiring. Yeah. I hope it's inspiring. Sister Jen, I want to also honor you here on this month of honoring inspiring women who pick up a torch and carry it with a quality of bravery and generosity. Thank you for all of your good work.
Tammy, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. And just, you know, big love and big support and respect for the work that you and your team are pushing out. It Sounds True. Again, it's continuing to amplify the light for the world. And I think you're helping a lot of folks to really accept themselves more. So thank you so much for joining us on the air, and hope to have you back again real soon. Thank you so much. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tammy Simon from Sounds True. If you'd like some more information on Tammy, just go to soundstrue.com and get some information on what she's doing with her audio program, Being True, and the Mindfulness Meditation Certification Program that they've also got coming up. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. I'd like to end the show on sending our pure feelings and peaceful thoughts and vibrations to our youth, the younger generation who's voicing truth, standing for what they believe in, to bring an end to violence in schools. We honor you, and we support you, and we offer you this moment of silence and peace as we hover over you and protect you with God's light and God's love. Stay strong, kids.
Take a ride with me to paradise. Heaven's in your heart beating inside. You're alive, the great divine, older than time. Your heart and your love. and you can feel the universe through your heart, the divine design of you. The time has come for you.